You know, let me begin with a story. One day, Joe got to ask God a question. He said, God, how much is one penny worth in heaven? And God replied him, he said, well, it's $1 million in heaven. And Joe said, God, can I ask you a second question? God said, sure. How long is 1 second in heaven? And God said, well, it's 1 million years. Well, 1 million years is really long. And Joe said, well, God, can I ask one last question, please? He said, God, can you give me one penny? God said, yeah, sure. Wait a second. You know, today I want to talk about what does it mean when we become one people, the people of God, when we become one. We talk about there is only one church in Hong Kong, but many congregations. What does it mean? What happens? What would be the implication when we are truly one people and one church? It's not about $1 or 1 minute, all right? So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. We are reading only two verses this evening, verse 19 and verse 20 from the ESV Bible. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they asked, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let me read that verse again, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. In verse 20, for where two are gathered in my name, there am I among them. The title of this message is The Power of Two. The Power of Two. If you notice very quickly, this verse tells us that in our agreement, when we agree, we bring about God's presence on earth. Right? That verse says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree about anything they ask, the power in prayer is not found in our asking, but is founded in our agreement. So many of us have missed. We get so caught up with the asking, but we missed out completely the spirit of agreement that is so much needed as an ingredient to our prayer. This church is a church of prayer. You understand the power of agreement. The scripture tells us that something happens when two persons agrees. When they agree in prayer, impossible is made possible. Not only good things will happen, but great things can happen simply because people are in agreement. Have you ever realized this? Be it at home, in your marriage, in your workplace, in our city, what more? In this church, in our fellowships. You see, friends, let me explain this. To ask is simply to stand together. Usually when we come praying and we ask in prayer, the louder we ask, the longer we ask, the more things that we ask, it is symbolically that we are standing together when we pray, asking. It is having the same mind, as if we're one mind. But here, agreement, it is not just about having the same mind. It is about having the same heart. Do you understand that? It is about having the same heart. So to agree, it is more than just to stand together. It is to sound together. We have beautiful worship this evening. How I wish the worship can carry on and on and on. We were in the presence of God. We enjoyed it so much. But did you notice that no matter how many people that are in this room and how different our voices could be and even our languages, we all sounded as one. We were all singing the same song. I hope none of us sing another song. We were singing to the same tune. We were having so many people here on stage with different instruments. They were playing different notes, but they all harmonized. They all synchronized as well as harmonized. One voice. I was closing my eyes. I didn't look back. I was just at the front here. I was just enjoying your voices. Those at the back beside me, in front of me. We all sounded together. So agreeing together simply means we sound together. It is having the same heart. not just the same mind. So the scripture says that something happens when we all sounded together. Heaven begins to shift. Heaven and earth begins to align. They begin to become one together, as if a man and a woman now here coming together, the two becoming one. Isn't it interesting? I know that some of us here, you say, Pastor Ed, I think you got your teaching wrong because heaven is a place. Heaven cannot move. But let me explain to you, heaven firstly is a person and then a place. Because heaven without that person called Jesus, there is no heaven at all. It is the presence of God. The Bible tells us that with him all things is made, heaven and earth. Without him, nothing is made. He's the Alpha and Omega, not only the place, but the space. When you have Jesus, when you have God, it is where all the places and all the spaces and all the time comes together. He embodies them. It is found in that person. So when we begin to pray in agreement and our hearts become one and we sounded as one, the Father begins to notice and heaven begins to shift and move and come closer to us. And just as when we think that we are here longing for heaven, heaven is longing for us. And therefore, we no longer sing, "Heaven, the world is not my home. I'm just passing through." No, no, no. Heaven is longing to come to us. He longs for us more than we here on earth longs for him in heaven. Because religion gives us the idea that we are longing to go to heaven. But the kingdom of God, the gospel, Jesus himself, for God so loved the world, we sang the song, the first song, that he sent his only son. And Jesus finally said, "Now I got to pack my bag and I'm going to go for a trip. I'm going to earth. I'm not going to stay there for 3 days. I'm going to stay there as long as I want. 30 years, 33 years. And even when he left this earth, he said, "I'm coming back." He misses us. He longs for us. And therefore, Jesus, he taught us to pray. "Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that cries, we want earth to be more like heaven instead of the other way around. Let us make heaven more like earth. And so many times religion tries to make heaven more like earth. And we ask some silly questions, you know, out of our foolishness and our naiveness. We say, "Well, Pastor, how many houses would I have in heaven?" And PSAM say, "You're going to have a big house." And you look very sad. And you wonder why. You say, "Because, Pastor, I got 5 houses here in Hong Kong." "You mean I only got 1 in heaven? Come on." And by the way, do we have dim sum in heaven? They said that it's the heavenly food. And how about, how many wives will I have? We try to materialize heaven. And I think that is a spiritual idolatry, where we try to make heaven look more like earth, and the sad thing is really to look more like us. And we try to create God in our own image. And sometimes when we are not careful, we try to make church look like us instead of more like Jesus, right? This is a healthy church. You know all of that. But here, when we begin to agree, heaven longs to come. He said, "I've been longing for you. I've been waiting for you." And just like any parent, when children are in agreement, they love one another, when there's unity, the parents love to show up. They want to visit you more. They want to live with you. They want to stay there. They want to enjoy that fellowship. You see, I've got 2 children, and they both live in the UK. And I only noticed that they would only miss home when they're hungry, when they run out of money, or when they're sick. But do you know what? As a parent, I miss them every day, every second. The first thing that I do every morning when I wake up, I check my phone. I go to my Find iPhone and I look for my children where they are, even though I know where they are. Every morning before I pray, that was what I did. On my bed. Then I jumped to my car early in the morning at 6:30 and I would call my children and I have a 45 minutes or 60 minutes talking to them while I drive to work. I miss them. And it's okay, even we have nothing to talk about. It's good to just see them. see them busy doing their work because I want to be with them. And the Father is the same. See, I long for you. I want to be with you. Heaven and earth began becoming one. And life begins to change. Instead of hearing people say, well, life is like hell, we say life is like heaven. Because heaven shows up when we are in agreement. So the moment when we agree, earth and heaven begins to align. Our agreement, in fact, is the link to the invisible and the visible world. The invisible and the visible world comes together. You see, heaven and earth, they complement one another. They do not contradict one another. Heaven is the spiritual realm. Earth is the physical. Heaven is the invisible realm. Earth is the visible realm. Heaven is God's throne, His house. But earth is man's house. We live here on earth. But they are one. They are one kingdom. God made them one. And we are to reflect God's image. Not only we, but earth is to mirror heaven. Did you notice that? So when Adam saw that God named the stars and the moon and the planets, Adam began to name the trees and the animals. And Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father does. And He taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that we do is a reflection, an image, a representation. It resembles Him. Not only the place, but the people. And we bring Him glory. So whenever we agree, heaven and earth becomes one again. And we can truly say we are on this side of heaven. We are on this side of heaven. You see, salvation is really not about me in heaven one day. That is only half the definition. Let me help us here a little bit. Salvation is heaven in me today. You heard of that song? Bob Fitz sang this song, Heaven is in My Heart. In the 90s, I got trouble agreeing with that lyrics, actually, for a long, long time. I thought theologically that is not right. How can heaven be in my heart? Heaven is so big. My heart is so small. You try to squeeze that whole thing into my heart, I'll get a heart attack. But then I begin to realize heaven is that person. Heaven is in my heart. So salvation is really an invitation for heaven in me today and me in heaven tomorrow. But religion says heaven is really something that is for the future. Something that is not yet. It is to be delayed. So we are saved from sin, but we are not saved for Him. No wonder Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But religion says, for me to live is gain and to die is Christ. You need time to think about that one. But we're invited into a relationship with Him. Because of Jesus, heaven exists at the same time as earth. And we have much to offer to our city and our friends. We offer them not only salvation, future, eternal life, but abundant life, the present. And this is what this city needs most at this time. And I'm so glad your church is still open. You know, when the church is closed, it is like telling our city, you know, the hospital is closed. It is frightening when the hospital say we are closed. And people need not only a physical assurance, health, but also a spiritual assurance that God is with us. That our door is open bigger than ever before. That we're not doing less, we are doing more. We're not stepping back, we are stepping up. Because we are here for such a time as this. That is why I am here, you are here. Therefore, we are here to stay. This is not a time to leave. God has prepared us, God has prepared this church the last 17 years. Your pastor and his wife, they step out by faith. The birth of this congregation for this time. It is not a time to shrink back. It is time to be stretched forth, stretched out, and to be sent forth. It is not a time that we hide ourselves and we call self-preservation. This is a time that we go out there and we sacrifice ourselves. I'm so moved and touched by the dedication of the medical team here in Hong Kong. They are so sacrificial. They laid out their life, my friends. I think in the spirit, more so for the church, we must. And we must. We must be wise, yes. We must be wise, but we must not be afraid. There's no reason to be fearful because our God is still faithful. You see, in the midst of problems, this is where the church begins to shine the brightest in the time of darkness, because the church has the spiritual vision to see promises instead of problems, to see opportunities instead of obstacles. Instead of asking why, JF Kennedy said, why not? Why not? Touch your neighbor and say, I'm so glad to see you here this evening. Yeah. If you don't want to touch your neighbor, just talk to your neighbor, all right? So agreement. So I like the word amen, because amen literally means let it be so. Amen are powerful. I know some preacher uses the word amen. It's a time that, you know, to keep people awake, to get some support from the congregation. But in the spirit realm, amen is powerful. Every time when we cry out, amen, God is listening. He shows up. He says, wow, finally they get to agree. By the way, I feel really bad when your pastor says, I don't show up at the pastor's prayer. I do pray. I do pray. You didn't tell them I pray, okay? I don't try to excuse myself, but I do pray, all right? Now, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. The power of two again. If I would ask, where is God today? There would be so many different answers. But some of us who are more theologically sound would say, God is everywhere, omnipresent, Pastor Ed. Of course. But I meant, where is God at work? Where is He working? Where is He active? Well, some of us may say, well, He's in the church. If you want to look for God, come to church on Sunday. Or the pastor, you know, go to see the pastor. He can offer you God. But here it's interesting. He says, where is God? He says, where to? But you didn't answer the question, Pastor Ed. Where is God? The answer here, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name. Where is God? Where two? That is the answer. Whenever and wherever you see two or three coming together in agreement, there is God at work. The power of two. It's true that God is present everywhere, but He's not at work everywhere. He's only at work here because two or three and more of you are here in agreement. And God is at work. And all our needs shall be met because God is a provider. You see, today we want to highlight that there is an element of worship that cannot be experienced in private worship. You see, when you do your devotion every day, every morning or at night, whenever you are doing it, you're doing it alone, you're doing it at home. And there is a place for that, and you are to do that. But usually when in a private devotion, you decide what to read, how much to read, what to pray, what to sing, where to pray, which Bible to read. You decide all of that. All right? And really, you're at the driving seat. You are leading yourself into God's presence. You are leading yourself into God's presence. You want to feel the presence of God. And some of us take longer time to bring ourselves into God's presence. All right? But here, where two or three is not a private worship. It is a public corporate worship. But did you notice that it is the reverse? We are leading God's presence to where we are. Now, it is quite bold for me to say this, but listen carefully. You see, in the Old Testament, they were following God's presence. So Moses said, you know, unless you go with us, we will not go. Enter the promised land. The Israelites in the wilderness says, you know, God's presence in the form of a fire by night and a cloud by day, led them in the wilderness. They were being led by the presence of God. But in the New Testament, Jesus now here says in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go into all the world. And then he ended. And I will be with you always. God, where are you? Go into all the world. But Jesus, where are you? Go into all the world. I'm coming, Jesus said. I'm following you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. Where is God when two or three are gathered in his name? So in corporate worship, I know that we're in times like, you know, people are very fond of out of convenience and safety. We do church online. There is a place for that. We do a lot of that live stream, yes. But there's nothing like when we come together as a church like this Sunday, we bring the presence of God. You see, when I was really young, I go wherever my parents take me to. They led me. I followed them. But now that my parents are old, they follow me. I'm not saying God is old, okay? I'm just saying this is how it works. As I begin to mature, as I begin to grow up, now my parents, they follow me. I make those decisions for them. I become their parent, a reverse parenting, we call it. So the scripture tells us that whenever we come together, God shows up. We lead his presence. Sometimes I feel a little bit troubled when people say, I come to church, I don't feel the presence of God. And I say, you know why? Because you didn't bring him here. It is like, you know, when you have a pot bless, you call it, right? A pot bless luncheon, and there is no food. And who are you to blame? You blame yourself because you didn't bring the food. You can't blame the church. You're supposed to bring your own food. So we bring the presence of God. Isn't it powerful today if all of us from Monday to Saturday, every day, we are leading ourselves into God's presence? We go into his word in prayer. We're building our faith in God's presence. And by Sunday when we come, it's an explosion. Whoa! Amen! Wow! Instead of coming to take the presence of God, we're coming to give. We bring the presence of God to SP. Who wouldn't want to come? And I know the heart of your pastor is that this church is apostolic, signs and wonders and community. And you're going to see all of that. He's been speaking on the spiritual gifts. I've been listening, P-San. I've been following you. I've been learning that, you know. I almost want to preach the whole series again. That is powerful. And we bring the presence of God. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Right there, the principle. So in private worship, we lead ourselves into God's presence. But in corporate worship, we lead God into our presence. I want to close with this verse in Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. The title of the message is The Power of Two. Something happens, good things and the great thing happen when two people come together. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. Moses told the people of Israel, one of you shall chase 1,000, but two of you shall chase 10,000. I'm not a mathematician. My kids, not too. Really bad. But one day when I look at this verse, I say, something is very wrong. I think God is also very bad with math. He will get an F right here. If it were straight arithmetic, we would say one should chase 1,000, two should chase 2,000. But nobody dared to question God. Why 10,000? Something is very wrong. The title of this message, The Power of Two. I'm going to just have two volunteers, two men maybe. If you have two volunteers, or three volunteers, let's make it three volunteers. Can we have three men? If you don't have, I'll just randomly close my eyes and point at you. Okay, we have three right here. Okay, so Nate, right?
Yes.
P-Nate, come on. This is Tim. Come, Tim. middle. Okay, so let me demonstrate this. We're coming to a close. So one would put 1,000 to flight. One would put 1,000 to flight. Each one of them separately, not together, individually can put 2,000 to flight. All right? Individually. Whatever they do, okay? They cannot do more than 1,000. So, but the scripture here says, but two can put 10,000 to flight. How does this work? So one day I figure out this. When two are gathered in my name, there I will be with them. Oh, there's a third person showing up right here. Oh, so we have Jesus. Wow, so Jesus shows up. So on their own, it's only 1,000. On their own, 1,000. Now Jesus comes, they can take 10,000. Okay, so now, he still does the same thing, meet in the same church, doing the same thing, he as well. But now with Jesus, they can take 10,000. So what happens? So finally, it dawned on me, PSM, Jesus had been reaching 8,000 for them. He still goes to bed at 8 o'clock and wake up at 8 o'clock. He still does the same thing, same routine, but the results have changed now. The church is still in the same place, all right? Worship team is still the same. The sermon is still 60 minutes long. Everything is the same. But suddenly, the church just begin to grow and explode. Suddenly, 10,000 people in the church. Wow, what happened? Because finally, there is agreement. Come on, lock arms, okay? The guy thing, right? Okay, lock arm. So suddenly, 10,000. Because simply, there is agreement. You know, I did some studies. I begin to realize that God loves to do things in pairs. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, two. Just the male is incomplete, but two complete the image of God. Genesis 7, 15, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. Two by two went to the ark, not three by three. Two by two. Come on, long arms. Okay, illustration is coming. Okay. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. Did you notice that? And gave them authority over the unclean spirits. They were given authority because they went out two by two. That is a secret. In Mark chapter 10, verse 7 to 9, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Something happens when the two comes together. They become one because God, Jesus, begins to come and glue them together. He is at work when two people come together. Now, one last verse. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Two again. Because there is agreement. One church on its own, maybe the most you can reach is 1,000 people. But the other church on its own, 1,000. But when we are united together in the spirit of prayer, you show at the pastor's prayer meeting and you agree. Confession time. All right? Then we are all blessed. Win-win. We all begin to grow. We don't have to be afraid of one another because Jesus comes now, finally. Because we were trying to do ministry on our own. Now we're not afraid, even we have a few churches on the same street or in the same building. We say, wow, that is even more powerful. We're going to fill up this whole building on Sunday with believers. The more church, the better, the merrier, more unity, more power, more Jesus. And suddenly we say, amen, amen, and amen, because we are agreeing, amen, amen. Would you stand, lock arms, come on. It's time to lock arms and begin to cry, amen, amen. Oh, begin to say amen, come on, lock arms. When you begin to cry, amen. Oh, the presence of Jesus comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Musicians, would you come on the stage? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, begin to pray and agree in prayer, not about what we ask, but because we agree, Jesus, today we agree. Hallelujah. Amen. Begin to cry out. Amen. Begin to shout out. Come on. Just say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Raise up your voice. Amen. 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 We agree, oh God. There is unity in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, that you are here with us. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Today we bless this church because the unity is present. The spirit of agreement is in this church. Today we render powerless the voice and the work of the enemy, Father. And we speak agreement. Hallelujah. That they will all sound together in Jesus' name. They will come as one heart, more than just one mind. But they will have one heart. They will love one another. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah.
Let's sing together, not individually, but as a church, corporately together. Let's lift up, let's worship Jesus. Jesus, we enthrone you.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you our King. Standing here midst of us, we raise you up with our prayer, and as we worship, build your throne, and as we worship, build your throne, and as we worship. Jesus, and take your place.
Let's continue to worship. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Oh, Jesus. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. And as we worship, stir up our hearts, God. And as we worship, Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you alone.
As we worship, build your throne.
Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. And as we worship, quiet, let's worship.
And as we worship,
build your throne, Jesus.
And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place.
Oh, Lord Jesus, come and take your place. And as we worship,
and as we worship,
we're